We are in Perek Beis. We're up to Mishneh Hay. You have a page number for the crowd? Page Pei Beis. Hu Haya Aimer. This is a loaded Mishnah. Most Mishnahs have three pieces of advice. So this has six, unless you somehow group them together. But this is still Rabbi Gamliel speaking. Hu Haya Aimer Ein Bor Yirecheit. A bor is a person who is empty of, he's devoid of knowledge or values. Can't be a Yirecheit. V'lay Am Ha'aretz Chasid. Now the two possibly go together. If you want to understand that there aren't six things in the Mishnah, each Mishnah is three, maybe group them together. But the idea of Ein Bor Yirecheit, V'lay Am Ha'aretz Chasid, is that without scholarship, you don't know what it means to be afraid of sin, and you don't know what it means to be a chassid, to be a righteous person. An interesting idea I saw initially in the Shlach HaKadosh, others write it as well, that the Arba Ovis Nezikin, there are four types of Nezikin in the beginning of Bava Kama, a Shar, a Bar, an Eish, and an Adam HaMazik. And each type of Mazik in the physical world has corresponding to it some type of a Mazik in Ruchnias. And that the mazik of boyer is the boor. This boor is related to the idea of a bar. What's a bar? A bar is empty. It's something that has nothing in it, that it's empty. So this boor is somebody who's empty. He hasn't got anything in him. And it says that a bar, we say shor v'loyodom. I'm not making this up. I'm quoting this from the Shlah in, he has a section called Masechtas Yuma. And he says that a shor v'loy adam, a bar is only a mazik for a shor, not for an adam. Why? Because an adam is intelligent enough to avoid falling into pits, hopefully. So he said the same thing. The boar is a behemoth. He's not a man. A mensch, he should be intelligent enough to avoid being a boar. There's an idea in the Gemara, which is it's a hard concept, whenever we teach it, that it's actually a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, and we paskin that you're not chayiv on bar for the bang that the animal suffers by hitting the bottom of the bar. We say, karka oilam is ikasai. A person's only chayiv on bar if the damage is done by the bar itself. And in the Gemara's case, it says that the bad air inside the bar contributes to the person's, to the animal's demise or to the animal's injury. Now, it has to be explained what exactly it means, but there's an idea that the havlogarim, the hot air, is what's gairim. So that idea matches the idea of a bar, of a boar, that it's sort of the hot air that's gairim, the emptiness that's gairim. There's an idea that the avais, in establishing Klal Yisrael, fought primarily against the idea of a boar. We find by the others, by Yitzchak, we find that he drew on Be'erois that his father Avraham had originally drawn. The difference between a boar and a be'er is that a be'er gives forth its own water. It's real. It has a source. A boar is baloney. It's fake. A boar looks like it's a source of water. It's not a source. It's just a place that collected the rainwater. So the avais somehow, what do we find by Yaakov? It says the avais, I'm not sure we find it by Yaakov.
He came to the bear
He came to the bear with the Rachel and Leah. Okay, that's good.
He moved the bear. And, he moved the stone.
So he touches it by Reuven. He threw Yosef into the bar, Lamanitziloi Meyachiv. He threw him into bar. He said, let the Mazik of bar be, judge him, because bar, the avais was somehow aiming on. They were aiming on the idea of battling ignorance. So at any rate, that's the title. Ein Bor Yirecheit. By Jews, the worst, their worst curses, but the worst sort of intelligent curse is to call somebody an Amoritz, to call somebody a boor. So the knack of knowledge is a put down. Ein Bor Yirecheit means that there are some people, yeah.
He talked about the boys in the base medrash who would be learning about Bor B'Shus HaRabim, and they'd be sticking their feet out in the aisle and someone could trip over it. But it seems from that that it's not just the knowledge. You have that musar also. Without musar, okay. It's the musar that calls you.
Put in your couple of minutes for musar. Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. This whole part of Torah is musar and Torah. But it just struck me because Rebbeim always say, you leave your briefcase in the aisle, so that's a bar. So they're right, it's a bar, but technically, if someone trips on a briefcase and injures himself on the ground, the owner of the bar, that's not a bar. I mean, besides that bar is Patar and Adam. Bar, the case of bar is when the bar causes the damage, not when the ground around the bar causes damage. Gemara says, in a slippery floor, the floor under the water is considered part of the bar. But all right, that's a technicality. At any rate, what the Mishnah is saying is that a person has to have knowledge. There's some people who try to be instinctively Yirei Shemayim, and they do the wrong things with good intentions. Layam Aretz Chassid is a chiddush that even in righteous deeds, Layam Aretz Chassid, Am Aretz could take something and do it because he thinks that that's what God wants. But without having the knowledge of Torah, it's very hard. Sometimes you can turn things exactly the other way around. The Rebbe Chazon Nish has his famous example, I think famous, of the mechanech in town. There was a melamed in town who taught for 30, 40 years. He'd been teaching the children in town. And a new melamed comes in, a young fellow with energy, and he opens up a competing cheder. And everyone wants to go to the younger person. And the old melamed, who's been faithful to the town for so long, says the other guy's a reitiv. He's reitiv my parnasa. So Chazon Nish writes, if the Shulchan Aruch would agree with him, if the Shulchan Aruch would agree that that's unfair competition, then he'd be right. The other person's a reitiv, and he's not. He's reitiv his parnasa. But the Shulchan Aruch says that although there are rules against competition, it does not apply to teaching Torah because we want to have the best possible mechanchim for our children. So it doesn't apply in teaching. You know, we say kinasay from tar b'chachma. It's more important to us to have good rebbeim for the children than to worry about the malamed's parnas. So that the Chazon Nish writes that without Shulchan Aruch you can't be a chassid. You don't know what to do. If you do what's instinctively the instinct, you look at the poor old rebbe and you're right if the other person. So you're the right if. So that's the idea that. That's the idea. The idea is that you have to learn in order to know what constitutes chassidus, what constitutes Yirei Shemayim. All right, the next two has to do with teaching. Loya baishin lamed, loya kapta malamed. Somebody who is excessively shy will not be able to learn. If you're not willing to ask, you're not going to be able to learn. Veloya kapta malamed, and the flippest side is true as well. If a rebbe is a kapton, he won't be able to teach because the children will be afraid to ask. Now we'll see in a minute how Rav Chaim Volozhin, what he adds to that. So it's sort of two sets of two, right? Like I mentioned that the Maral says that most of the Mishnayos, Pirkei Avos, are threes, and this is six, so maybe it's one, Ein Bo Yirchet Le'amar Tzchasin, two, Le'yabai Shem Lamed Le'yakapto Malamed, they go together. Now what about the next two? Le'yakal Amar B'Bishchay Remachkim. And not everyone who looks to be excessively successful in business will become wise. In other words, the schaira has to be your secondary concern, and the first being the learning. And in a place where there are people that are failing in whatever behavior it is, you have to step in and be the mensch. Now, it sounds like b'makom she'esh anashim, you don't have to be an ish. But I guess the pashto pshat is that it requires extra hishtadlus. If you're in a community with a certain level of behavior, where a proper level of behavior is expected, so it needs less hishtadlus. If you're in a community where the expectations are lower, so it requires a greater hishtadlus li'es ish, because people generally are influenced by the community around them. Now, these last two I find hard to group together. As the first two, second two go together easily. The next two, it seems you have to force it. What is loy kol hamar b'schar machim and b'makim she'en enoshim mishtad li'esish? It's hard to know exactly how those two go together. Right, let's see, Rav Chaim Volozhin has very, just brief comments on this Mishnah. Aloya Baishin Lamad, the person who is a Baishin will not be able to learn. Ki im lo yivosh lo yikoshel. Ki yasig im yishal. If he won't be ashamed, he won't make mistakes, because he'll understand if he asks. Layachbis ksil bisvuna. A fool doesn't desire knowledge. Ki im bisgales libay. He does what his heart wants. So a person's a fool, he does what he thinks is right. He's not going to get things right unless he's maidala emes, that he doesn't understand. Or simenu ki chafes bitfuna, then it's a sign that he wants understanding, if he's willing to admit he doesn't know, and to ask. So it's an important thing. As a rule, if you're asking a shayla to someone, if the person occasionally says, I don't know, then it's a good person to ask a shayla to. If every time he feels he has to know, well, he may just happen to know all the time. But it's, you gotta worry that, so a person who's afraid to say, I don't know, is never gonna learn. And the opposite, laya kapton, kim yishol, pam achas, yikois alav, if the student will ask, and the Rebbe will get upset, oz lo yosef lishol mimenu, ki is bayish, then he won't ask again. If a gamba oisei pam, lo yikabel ashoyalas devarav. And even more than that, even that time, when he does answer, the shayel will not accept his words. And here there's a footnote at the bottom that explains the idea. Rav Chaim Volozhin is saying, as I understand, that it's not only that if you're a captain, the students will be afraid to ask. But the definition of a malamed is somebody who is along with the children, along with the talmidim, who is feeling along with him, who's sensitive to them. Otherwise, it's failing in the job. It's a failing in the job definition of a malamed. Even what he does teach won't be accepted, because it requires a certain connection of people. You're not just imparting information, but you're teaching it. We see it as a derech hachayim. You have to teach it that way. One of the nicest verat lachai I saw when I was learning Shir Hashirim, Shir Shirmit says, a devash v'cholov tachas l'shoinech, honey and milk under your tongue. There are 12 places in Tanakh where honey and milk appear in the same pasuk. And all 12 places, milk is first and honey is second. Because milk is sustenance. It's what a baby lives off. It has all the vitamins, all the nutrients. Honey is candy. So you need eretz avos cholov v'dvash. You need milk and then honey. So milk is the necessity, and honey is the extra. So it always says cholov and devash. Here it says devash v'cholov. The explanation is that pasuk is referring to someone who's teaching Torah. Someone who's teaching, he puts devash v'cholov tachas l'sheinech. He imparts honey sweetness. And teaching Torah is not something extra. It's a necessity. So therefore, it puts the devash together with the cholov, devash v'cholov. It's not the candy. It's not the extra thing. It's a gemara that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu to teach, but pilpul he gave just to Moshe. It was Moshe Rabbeinu, a gift to Moshe Rabbeinu, pilpul of Torah. And the Gemara says, Nohag Moshe Rabbeinu Tovisayin Ba'atzmai. Moshe Rabbeinu was Nohag Tovisayin, and he taught it to Klal Yisrael. So it's a little funny that, God said it's for you, and he said, no, it's for everybody. So Rav Palm would say that it's the example of a teacher. You might teach someone the Pupula Dairaisa, for Dairis, it always has to go with Tovus Ayin. So that every Rebbe has to give with Tovus Ayin in order for it to work. So that's the idea of like a Kapton Malamed, that it's missing in the job description of a, sort of like the Brisker Rav's Vart about, they asked him, they have two Chazarim for Yabin Nairoim. One has a beautiful voice. Yerushalayim Shemayim is average, not a big Talmud Chacham. The other one's a big Talmud Chacham, a great Yerushalayim. He just doesn't have a nice voice. So the Brisker Rav said that when you're considering a chazan, the job description is that he has a nice voice. So you don't consider somebody who's not able to daven for the amid in your list of people. It's not a choice. You have to fit the job description. So the job description of a malamid is somebody who has patience for talmidim. One more. B'makim shein anashim ishtadal liyaisish ratzaloimer l'ktsas ho'itim toiv lehisboidet gamkein. Very interesting. What he sees in the Mishnah is that in a place where there's a need for a certain type of ish, be that ish. But there are times where it's good to practice this by the dust, to withdraw. And even when nobody's watching you, still, ishtadol yesish. So he's saying, we understand this always, but makim shein anoshim, no one's a mensch, make sure to be a mensch. He's saying, even if you're alone, there's no one around you, ishtadol yesish, remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. Okay, the next Mishnah. Af hu ra gulgailas achas. He saw a skull, shetzofa pleyamayim, floating on the water. I have to get Harvey and ask him if skulls float. This one was floating. Amalah, he said to the skull, Adateft atfuch, v'saif metayfach yetufun. Because you killed others, you were killed, and those who killed you will also end up, catches up with them. So the idea of there being a sort of a system of justice in the world was his reflection. Chaim Volozh on the bottom. K'may shomer akasa v'ni im yavtucha chatoim. Chatoim will try to convince you. Al tovay. Ner voladam nitzpana l'naki chinam. Explanation. Yavtucha mashri yiru l'chapalim shemut alas. They'll try to talk you into pitois. They'll talk someone into that something is muta. Ba'amram. Ki im loim in Hashemayim nigzar alav loim yuchaloi vim nigzar ein oven kal korcha yaharek. If you, somebody will tell you, there's nothing wrong with killing this person or damaging him, because if from Shemayim he's not supposed to have this damage, we're not going to be able to damage him. And if from Shemayim it was judged that this person should be damaged or killed, so we have no aveir in doing it. So what's wrong with trying to kill somebody? You can't succeed in killing somebody unless God wants him to die. So, what are we doing wrong?
What does it mean?
It means...
What, a man can kill the other guy?
Well, the question is that the philosopher is worried here about. The philosopher is saying that, why can't I try to kill somebody? If God doesn't want him to die, he won't die anyway. And if God wants him to die, so I'm doing God's favor.
If somebody did want to kill somebody, he would kill me.
Excuse me? He could kill somebody.
Somebody did. A bandit. Yeah.
A bandit.
He would kill somebody. Yes. He would kill.
Okay, well, this person is claiming that that way. That if you can't kill somebody, if God doesn't want him to die. And it happens to be some achlekes rishayim. If it's possible to kill somebody who's not supposed to die. The Rambam Shita is that it's not possible to kill somebody who's not supposed to die. But there are other rishayim that disagree. Not this summer, last summer. I was speaking to Rav Dovah Gottlieb about something related, and he said for Pashtus, the most Rishayim hold that you could kill somebody that's supposed to die. I told him, what are you talking about? Most Rishayim hold like the Rambam, that you could. So I quoted a Rashi and Daniel. He said, no, Rashi and Daniel says the other way. I said, what? You know, we weren't in a place where there was a Daniel, but, I guess depends how you understand certain things. So it's an ongoing dispute if it's possible. What he's saying is that it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant if the person would die anyone.
What's the half of me? I could say I'll jump off the Empire State Building.
Well, what a person can do to himself is a separate issue. The question is if somebody can do things to other people.
But if I'm, why is it different? If I'm
a person can do things to himself. Because a person doing to himself is doing an aveira when he does it. So that itself is the kitrug on the person. But someone else, an innocent man, the Rambam says that the Torah forbids taking revenge because a person can't hurt you. And if he hurts you, the person would have been hurt anyway. And that's the Rambam Shita. There are many who disagree. The Al-Shech is often quoted as the Baal Memra or the Archaim HaKadosh in Parshas Vayeshev, who say that it's possible. It's, I don't know what Rabbi Shainim hold.
But there's a rabbi the other way from Paro. Because we learned that the reason why Paro was punished was not because...
Yeah, the Raya, though, from Paro, right, the Rambam, the Rabbani asked why Paro was punished. He did Ratzon Hashem. See, there was a little different. There the Navi had already... I should say the Navi, but God had already told Avraham Avinu that it would happen. And therefore it had to happen. When you go to someone else, and if Reuven goes to Shimon and wants to harm him, or kill him, he doesn't know what the Navi had said. Maybe you're right, the person's supposed to die, but...
Ramses didn't have to be Mitzrayim. It could have been any nation.
The
Rambam is clearly
that. The Rambam is matmiya. It says it didn't have to be Paro. It could have been any nation. He says, but what's wrong if the king wants something done? It could have been someone else, and I jump and do it. What's wrong with that?
That's the question.
All right, we'll come back to this, I guess, next time. I have to tell you, I have a complicated schedule for the next 3 weeks. So I'll tape it here again. I wrote it on a piece of paper. Next week, I'm only going to be a Sunday. I have Baruch Hashem Simchas every night, except a Sunday. Go figure it out, you know. So next week, I'll be a Sunday. The week after, I think it's Tuesday and Thursday. And, so.